You know, but that's, Pastor said, let's give these out so people kind of have a little bit better idea what the ministry that I work with and am trying to build out, getting people trained. That's what God designed me for, was to teach. So when I'm not so much as a preacher as I am a teacher. And you'll see that in a minute. But that's what God designed me for, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this evening. If you turn to Jeremiah, in a few minutes that we have left here, that's one reason I never took a pastorate. I've been an associate pastor most of my life, youth pastor, still a youth pastor. Started out as a youth pastor, still a youth pastor. Enjoy that. Working with the young people. But God designed me to teach. Even in this, in the outside of the church area, you know, in the world, I also ended up training and teaching. You know, continuing education, flight instructor. It doesn't matter. That's just what God gave me the abilities and talents for, and that's why I've used it for. I've always said I'm just too mean and ornery to be a pastor. Diane says, I don't have a good bedside manner. I said, oh, that's about right. You know, someone's sick. You sick? Yeah. Okay, well, get over it. Let's go. Yeah. I do have some compassion. Some, a little bit. But God didn't design me for that. I have help with churches part-time. And, you know, I mean, not part-time, but intern and stuff like that to help move to the next phase. But my job is to teach the Word of God, and that's what God designed me. We're going to look at that this evening, because of the need worldwide. There's such a need. And I think a lot of people are sitting in the pews today don't realize, you know, we're coming to a quick end here. I think most of us know that are sitting in here tonight know that, you know, most of the prophecy has been fulfilled in the Bible. There isn't much left. If there's anything left, it's just a matter of time. I do believe that God's waiting the absolute furthest point in time he can go, because he doesn't want anyone to perish, giving that last opportunity. But I also think we have a tremendous amount of people sitting in the pews, not following God's call, not getting in line and doing what God would have them to do that he designed them for, because of a number of reasons in their lives. And one of them is, of course, worldly reasons, but not just doing what God would have them to do. And that's why we have open churches. That's why we have, across this world, we have people's groups. You know, like you look in the prayer bulletin, I mean, there's 13 million people in all those people's groups. Within the 23 people's group that passes over the country, if we look within each country, there's actually 58 subgroups, and only 48 of those aren't even reached of just that one cluster of people. We can go all over the place. We need... And you know, it's not that God's not calling people. It's that God's people are not answering God's call. Let's look at Jeremiah here, starting in verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and unto the end of the 11th year, Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. For the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this day. Thank you for being able to come together and have a time of fellowship, have a time of prayer, you know, over needs. Have a time of looking over the needs of missionaries and the missionaries that have surrendered their lives to do something for. And have a time of being able to go to the Bible and just look at some things that you say in the Bible and be able to take those with us, you know, to maybe make them applicable in our lives and to look at our own lives and see, are we following your word or are we trying to ignore it or avoid it? Father, just thank you. Be with me this evening as I bring forth this message. Bless all the work that we do here, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here that verse 4 specifically, and then verse 5 is what I want to look at. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, you know, here in the book of Jeremiah, we see the word of the Lord 51 occasions. Talk about where God's talking to Jeremiah. We see the word of the Lord came unto him on 19 different occasions in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah has a lot in it that we can learn from. Of course, he's talking about Israel. And the more I read the Bible, the more time I spend in the Bible, when I look at Israel and all the things that they, you know, they're out there worshiping God and doing everything they're supposed to be doing, and then all of a sudden, they're doing what? Exactly what they're not supposed to be doing. And then they get right with God and they're doing it back. Well, it's just Christians today. Same thing. But it tells us how God is steadfast, and this is what he wants, this is what he expects from us. And when you get off track, he kind of, like we do with our kids sometimes, kind of gets us, back on track, and then we get off again, and he gets us back on track. And he's trying to keep us there. We need to be kept there, too. And so when we look at this, we see that Jeremiah has a great understanding that this is God talking to him. And when we look at this, what I want to point out here is that God had a call upon Jeremiah that was there, if you look in verse 5, before I formed thee. Before I formed thee. So when I look at this, I say, you know, when I came across this the other day, and I look at this, and I say, you know, before God formed him in the womb, he already had a plan for Jeremiah. When he formed us, he had a plan for us. He had a purpose for our life. He had something that he wanted us to do in his plan that was assigned to us. He gave us certain abilities. He gave us certain talents that was there for one purpose only, and then he had that purpose there. And that's what we look at. Of course, we also look at this, behold, I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. We also can say, well, okay, well, that solves the problem of the people that believe in abortion. It starts right there. God is very clear on that right there. That's just on the side there. But what I want to look at is Jeremiah was a person before he was born. The foreknowledge of God was apparent. He knew God before I formed thee. And it's also clear that it was God who formed Jeremiah in his mother's womb. It was very clear who, where, and how that happened. God formed him. In the case of Jeremiah, God knew him before he was conceived. He called him into the ministry even before he was born. I believe every person here has a purpose that God has assigned before he was ever born. And that's why I think a lot of times of what we're missing is understanding that call of God. We hear that, and we use that word, and most people understand what that actually means, the call of God, that God's called you to do something. Well, it's there when he formed you. It's there. And as prophet, when God, and this we have it, that God had sanctified him. When you come down here in there, it says, before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. He set him apart for that service. He set me apart. He set you apart for a specific service for him. God ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet unto the nations. That's what he was supposed to be doing. And that's what it was. Of course, his prophecy was not just to Judah, although that occupied most of what he did, but it was also to the surrounding nations out to Egypt and everything around him was what Jeremiah had. But the thing that we look at is in verse 6 then, he said, then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Just our excuses. The first thing he said, hey, I can't speak publicly. I can't say anything. I mean, I hear that all the time. So, well, maybe you're to be a preacher or teacher. Well, I can't do that. I can't speak in front of people. I didn't want to take a speech class when I went to college when I came back from Vietnam. I didn't want to go to speech class. I'm not going to stand up there and talk for 2 minutes. I'm not going to do that. I didn't want to do it. I was kind of forced to do it, if I wanted to, finish up what I was working on there, and I had to do it. I didn't want to do it. First time I preached was in front of about 6 or 7 elderly ladies. Didn't you want to do that? Got about 10 minutes. And that was about all. I was ready to go home. I hope I never saw him again. Well, I shouldn't tell you this, but I was coming back. Diane doesn't even know this. I was coming back from Chicago Friday night. It must have been about 11:30 midnight. And I stopped just on the north side of Indianapolis. So I got was out of the car filling up my gas. There was a car on the other side, had some kids in it. And I didn't see him right away. Never did really see him. He was on the other side, I guess, was pumping. And she, the lady, the mother, came out of the building, came up to the back, came around the back of the car and was standing there and explained to him that she was glad he finally stopped because she said a few words. She just couldn't hold it anymore. Well, I mean, I just keep pumping away. And then she came around the corner. She didn't know I was there. She came around the corner and she looked at me. Oh, man, I didn't mean for you to hear that. And she went around the other corner. She kind of went over to the car and opened up the car, said something to the kids. Her husband said something to her and I couldn't hear. She said something to the kids again. He said something to her I didn't hear. And then she turned around and looked at me and said, I'm sorry you heard that. I'm really embarrassed. And then I was thinking, I said, I need to give him a track. And then she said, I'll never see you again. I couldn't do it anymore. I said, if I open up my mouth, I'm going to start laughing. I said, I think I just need to finish up my gas and head out on that. But sometimes we say some things and sometimes we can't talk. And I remember it took me some time to be able to speak in front of groups of people. And, now if it's 1,000 people, it's kind of like her, what she thought, some of these people will never see me again. So, but I'm doing it for God because God, this is what God's given me to do, to get up there. And we have to overcome that fear. We've been teaching some to the teens on Joshua. We were talking about in the first chapter, he tells Joshua to be strong and good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong 3 times in there because they had the fear the first time, never crossed the Jordan because of their fear of the obstacles, their fear of the giants, and their fear of what was over on the other side of the Jordan. And he's telling Joshua to do that. And that's what we need today. God's given us an assignment. God's given us something to do. We need to have the courage and the strength and the trust in God to just go do it. And we're going to stumble at that, but that's what we're talking about here. And of course, Jeremiah's just like us. He's saying, "Hey, I can't speak. I can't speak." Moses said the same thing. That didn't work. And Jeremiah's saying, "I can't speak. I'm just a young man." Jeremiah probably wasn't that old at this point because we know from that point on he had a ministry of over 70 years, in Judea and around Israel. But he had excuses, just like what we have excuses today. But here's what God said. "Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Thou shalt go. He's talking about future tense. He's talking about, you're going to go do this. That's what I've told you to do. That's what I expect you to do. Think about men like Jonah. He finally ended up doing what he was supposed to be doing, right? He didn't want to do that. Moses ended up doing what he was supposed to be doing. He didn't want to do that. We can go down a whole list of men that didn't want to do in the Bible, didn't want to do what God had shown them and assigned them to do, but they came around to it because that's what they were supposed to be doing. That's what they're supposed to be doing. So God basically rebuffed Jeremiah's objection, informing him that he would, in fact, go wherever he told him to go and would send him and say whatever God had commanded him to do and that he would do that going forward. It's kind of like basically God was telling Jeremiah to stop whining. It's kind of like we say sometimes, suck it up, buttercup, cowboy up, cowgirl up, man up. Hey, if that's what God told you to do, then get at it and do it. Because I'm going to come to a part here shortly. God's not going to change his mind. We're so used to today that when our kids whine, the generation that's coming up, the kids whine, I don't want to do that and all this, and they cry and whine, oh, okay, well, then do this. Is that okay? We just kind of let them direct what we would have them to do, right? Just say yes. We've done that. Yeah. Instead of arguing with them or fighting, we just kind of, let them kind of do what they want to do. God doesn't do that. He's got a purpose for you that your job is to do what he assigned you to do. And he told them, just man up, let's do it. And that's it. God called him in Jeremiah and told Jeremiah to get ready and go. But again, this is where a lot of us have been told to get ready and go. We know what we know in our hearts what we're supposed to be doing, but many of us have that fear to take that next step. We don't have that courage to move out. We don't have that trust in God to take those next steps. You know, we just don't have that faith that God's with us. And then he goes on, and then God basically answers that. In verse 8, he says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." But he goes on the next step and says, "Hey, I'm with you. Go do it." You know, Matthew 28:20 talks about, you know, we go out there and we preach and baptize, and we're to teach others the same thing, and I was with you always. We see that throughout Scripture. He told Joshua that in chapter 1, chapter 2 in the book of Joshua. He's telling him, I am with you. I'm there. Go do it. But you have to step out in faith. Remember over in Joshua in chapter 3 and 40, before that, the waters were held back in the Jordan. What did they have to do? They had to walk out in the Jordan. By faith, they had to go out in that overflowing, flooded river. You can see that in chapter 3. They had to walk out in there by faith before God separated or held back the waters. And that's what God's expecting. By faith, you trust in me, then just start doing it. You know, Ezra talks about, you know, he said, I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to learn what's in it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to teach others to do the same thing. Ezra 7:10. There's a doing part that has to be part of this. And we have to have that faith in God that he's going to help us do that. But we have to have also the faith to start doing it and then watch God help us get it done. But he's looking for that faith. So the fear of people keeps a lot back from serving God. You see that as I've trained people and taught in Bible colleges. You know, it's not only, well, my car broke down, so God must not want me doing this. Attitude, which we see a lot. You know, we see that with missionaries going out raising support. All of a sudden, they have a series of, you know, they're all on deputation. They have a series of problems. And then all of a sudden, well, God must not want me to do this. And then they stop doing it. You know, no. We can go back to just Joseph alone and learn about adversity. Go to Job and learn about adversity. It's there. God never said one time anywhere in the Word of God that if you're following me, there will not be adversity, there will not be obstacles, there will not be things that you have to overcome. Just think of Joshua going over the river. They knew there were obstacles over there. And God puts them there for what? He puts them there to strengthen us, to give us more courage, to increase our faith and our trust in him. We are not to avoid them. We are to work through them. We're not to try to go around them. We are looking to with God to get to the other side. That's what Joshua and Caleb saw the first time. They didn't look at the obstacles. They saw the promise of God and knew that that land was theirs and God was going to be with them. But the other 10 spies said no and scared the rest of Israelites, and they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. And in the churches today, we have men and women wandering around the wilderness because they will not do what God's called them to do. Whether it's a Sunday school, I mean, I've said it before. We got ladies and men in the churches today that are afraid to teach I kind of am too, but, you know, 6 and 7, 8-year-olds and stuff like that. But afraid to get... I wouldn't know how to teach those little kids, you know. I just have a hard time getting a message, you know, that they would understand. Let's put it that way. But anyway, but we have people that are just afraid of doing that. They're afraid... We got men in churches that are afraid to take up the offering because they don't want to stand up in front of other people when they're sitting down to be seen. But maybe that's what God would have you do, to help in the church, to take up the offering, to help the pastor make sure everything's going right in the church. I mean, that might be what God's called you to do. That's your lifetime service for God. But a fear holds him back. Jeremiah knew what was coming. Jeremiah knew that it was backslidden and apostate character of his people. He knew what was coming. He knew it was not going to be a challenge. He knew he was going to get, people are not going to like him. He knew he was going to probably hurt, probably be attacked. He knew that from the beginning, but he also knew this was his job. I've said before, I said, just think of Paul and Silas after they were beat, they were whipped, and they were in stocks. They were singing praises and hymns because they knew they were right where God wanted them to be because they just got done preaching to that group of people, and they knew they were going to have another opportunity to preach to some more people, and that was God's will for their life. That's what God had called them to do, and they were content to exactly where they were at, even though they were beat, whipped, and sitting in stocks. They probably didn't have any food. That's our attitude should be. You read some of the articles by the Voice of the Martyrs. We got Christians in some of these countries. We got Christians in some of these countries and some of these churches that don't want nothing to do with American Christians coming out of fundamental Baptist churches today because we're weak. We don't have enough faith to stand like they're standing in their countries. Just read some of that stuff in Voice of the Martyrs. I don't agree with all their doctrine, but when I look at what some of these people go through in some of these countries, and then we got what we have, and we're sitting in the pews. Now, think about what God's going to say to us at some future point. And there will be a day coming that he will be having a little discussion with us on this. He knew the opposition and persecution he was going to face. But God promised to always be with him and deliver him. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11 as we close up this evening. I'm going to use this verse. Just to expand for a second or a couple minutes on what I had said just a little while ago. Chapter 11, verse 29. It says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Repentance means what? Change of mind. Now, of course, here, he's talking a little bit more about Israel and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the promises that he made there. But he's basically saying, hey, this is what I said. It's not changing. These promises I made to Israel, Abraham, I'm not changing those promises. They're dead set. Now, I look at this and I said, we go back and God gave us these abilities and talents. He formed us. He made us for a purpose. And he's not changing that. That's what I said. So, no matter how much we whine, complain, I don't like that. I don't want to go over to Papua New Guinea. I'm going to go here. He's not changing that. He gave us a purpose. This tells me he doesn't change his mind. It's not changing it. Just like salvation. It's immutable. It's unalterable. Once we're saved, God doesn't take that back. Once he calls us to a specific purpose and a specific job, he's not taking that back or changing that just because we don't want to do it. It's set. It's like the servant to whom the master gives a gift and returns and takes it all away from him. It doesn't happen. Romans 12, 1 through 4, the last part of that says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I don't know, if some of this book has been all print. We do have it. We redid the book. You can print it. It's Perfect Will of God by G. Christian Weiss. It's really built upon this scripture here. We developed that into a one-credit Bible college course on knowing God's will, how to find it out. What we're talking about here is we need to find out what it is that God's assigned us to do. See, Jeremiah was probably in his teens before God really showed him. I think many of us, we don't see what God wants us to do until after we're saved. That's the first step. We have to recognize God. We have to see God. We have to know God. And then God shows us what he had designed us for. But it's not going to change. God's called you to be a pastor, and then that's what you ought to do. He's called you to be a Sunday school teacher, and then that's what you ought to do. He's called you to go to some missionary in some foreign field in some tribal area to spend 10 years trying to translate that language into its own words phonetically, then that's what you ought to be doing. You can't get out of it. You can't get around it. If not, I believe you'll be living that wilderness just like the Israelites did. And ever so often, you'll come around that mountain again. And you'll come around that mountain, and God will say, did you get it? You're going to do what I've asked you to do? No. I really can't talk. Well, then you just go wander around that mountain again. Another year, 2 years, whatever it is, and you come back around. You get back over, and God's talking. He's trying to get you to understand, this is what I designed you for. Are you going to do it? If not, I believe we wander in the wilderness. And we have people that have been wandering in the wilderness all their lives. They're saved. They pass on. They go on to heaven. But they've wandered in the wilderness all their lives. Yeah, they might have led some people to the Lord, but they were not doing what God had designed them to do. When I look out over this world and I see all these empty churches, and I'm not talking about people sitting in the pews, but I'm talking about people behind the pulpit. And I see all these places where we don't have a witness. We got millions of people in parts of this world that have no witness whatsoever. There's nobody there reaching these people. And I can't believe that God's not calling people for those places. And that God has not designed people to be there. I believe he has. I believe that the excuses are there. We don't have the strength. People don't have the courage. They don't have the faith and trust to do what God's called them to do. Our first step is to understand what God does want us to do. And part of that is, like I told the young people in the teens class, we have to understand what God's given us. How did he design us? What are our abilities and talents? Sometimes we may not know that right away unless we start going out there and doing what we already know we ought to do. Remember, Paul was on his second mission, halfway through his second missionary journey before God finally did what? Told him exactly what direction to go. The first one and a half, the first missionary journey, the second one, he was just following what God had told him to do, take the gospel to the Gentiles. That's all he was doing. Then God directed him more directly. I've said for years, the only way you're going to find out is to start doing what you already knew. That's stepping out by faith, doing what you already know to do. And then God's going to direct you more completely and fully. So I hope that helped you tonight some. And then moving forward, I just believe, and that's one reason we're working so hard with helping churches with Bible institutes. That's one reason we're working so hard to help train men and women and to teach them some of this stuff so they see that, you know, church was always there for a revolving door. As people come in, there should be people going out to start churches, to be missionaries, to develop ministries, to reach out to the lost and dying world. That's what the church is for. Train people. Not to gather people, but to train people to send them out. Let's pray.